Yes, that too.
How are we doing, folks? Tom here with 3D Politics. Tom McKay. I've got all three Davids once again talking about all things political. I've got David D'Ambroso, David Oldham, and David Van here with an exciting go-round. We're going to be talking about gay pride, straight pride, and legalization, non-legalization, prohibition, and all those technical terms of the weed. And what do you got going on, Broso?
Well, you know, I'm still here. I concluded my investigation, most of my investigation a while. RNC. But I don't know if we'll be talking about that.
Cut it out.
Yeah, you know, maybe if someone's interested in it.
Pre-show talk, yeah.
You know, but...
You can't talk about it, don't
we? We got a second. No, we can talk about it. We're probably not, because I'm not going to talk about it. But I'm just going to tease you guys. It might come up later.
All right.
There are more pieces. It looks like there are a lot of people that have been having similar issues. And, you know, They're notable folks. But,
all right. Did you get to go on the deal or not?
No. I didn't get to go on the deal.
What else are we not talking about?
We are going to talk about
some personal stuff.
Yeah, the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court today decided to pass on Kansas's SB 102. And what that law stated in 2013 that Eric Holder decided was unconstitutional was that intrastate commerce within the state of Kansas, for those purposes, people could construct class 3 weapons. And what are those? Those are fully auto machine guns and suppressors. Now, I don't know if it really applied to full autos, but it should have by the language, but it certainly did apply to suppressors. So a couple of fellows started making suppressors in the state of Kansas that said, made in Kansas. And those guys got a knock on the door from the ATF, and the ATF said, no, you are violating state law. I'm sorry, national law. And they said, we have not left the state of Kansas. And they said, but your Facebook video did.
Oh!
And boy, so I am I'm disappointed with the president on this. And I'm still an ardent supporter of his. If the election were held today or tomorrow or next week, I'd vote for Trump happily. I still think he's one of the best presidents in the history of the United States. But he's wrong on this. He says he doesn't like suppressors, which I'm fine. I thought that was political posturing. But what he did was he asked the Supreme Court, and I'd like to hear your input on this. Mm-hmm. He asked them not to hear the case. And so they declined to hear this case that had moved from the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals all the way to the Supreme Court, looking at the constitutionality of the NFA, which is the underlying law, congressional law from 1934.
That's the National Firearms Act, right?
Right, and that was the means by which the ATF can kick down your door and shoot your family if your gun is 1/10 of an inch too short in the barrel, making your gun less accurate and hit less hard. That's illegal.
All a Randy Weaver, Ruby Ridge.
Oh yeah, that's yeah. Where that happened.
They said, man, you have an immoral barrel.
So what's the ruling as it stands now prior to Supreme Court?
So, I mean, this is really confusing. I can't find anything on the interwebs about the Kansas state law, if it's been ruled unconstitutional. It seems like, people internally within Kansas law enforcement, they are abiding by their law, their state law, SB 102. So they're not
good.
They're not enforcing this. None of the state officials are.
Good.
But no, SB 102, it said what? Generally.
Well, it said, and I'm really impressed with it. I actually looked through it again today. I haven't looked through it for a long time, but it stands on the 9th and 10th Amendment and the 2nd Amendment last.
Really? Okay.
Establishing that you have this right. And what's really even super interesting is the ATF considers a suppressor to be a firearm, unless I'm mistaken. Well, it's not. It's an accessory.
Right.
But that means that their rule is even more tenuous because they're regulating it like it's an accessory, even though they're calling it a firearm. The Supreme Court does not agree with that.
Let's change your wording there, because they are not regulating anything. It's an outright prohibition.
Well, they're regulating because you can have one. You just have to pay them $205, and you have
that's
to go
not a regulation. That's a
background check.
That's a prohibition and licensure, and that's a different scheme.
Yeah. Now, I will say this: if it was a liberal victory, a leftist victory, you would have no problem knowing that. The media would make sure we knew it. So the fact that it's a gray area here probably tells me there might be some good in it.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like they lost in court, the state for a good law that was allowing for intrastate sales, correct? Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, within the state. I don't, yeah.
And then holders filed suit and said, no, you can't. They lost in circuit
in
court.
10th
in
circuit,
district.
In Denver.
No, in district court.
District court, yeah.
Then they had to go to
10th circuit.
The 10th circuit
oh, yeah,
court.
Right.
Where they won, at which point the Supreme Court denying it leaves the 10th Circuit decision.
So they were going to hear today, and apparently President Trump asked them not to hear it.
Okay.
That's one report I heard. Can the president do that, and do they listen?
He can ask anything.
He can ask anything.
But here's the thing. Oklahoma,
right.
Folks, is in the 10th Circuit. That means it applies to Oklahoma as well.
Right.
Okay? Right. It only applies in the 10th Circuit.
Insofar as you want to.
As a direct ruling.
Right.
As a precedent.
No, that's true.
In other words, it does not apply to the Third Circuit.
Well, there's no word that Kansas is abandoning this.
Right.
Their enforcement agencies are simply not enforcing the
mm-hmm. And Kansas has got some gumption here. They passed constitutional carry years ago.
They did.
Right.
You know, so.
Back in 13, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Same year this
well,
was
I mean,
passed.
It's only state power that has the strength to stand up to the overreach of the feds.
Mm-hmm. Well, shoving in the Constitution where you can regulate a suppressor, where is that?
Well, no. Regulation is fine. Prohibition is not. Let's define the two terms.
Definition
is everything. To say you cannot have it is prohibition. To say you may use it, but only safely and not harm and not in any harm to another, mm-hmm. and create rules by which that may happen.
Yeah, we already have those rules. It's don't shoot people to death.
Exactly.
Okay,
so that is the extent of regulation. Beyond that, they have exceeded their
into
authority
prohibition.
Into prohibition, and they are actually in criminal unlawfulness.
Eventually, we're going to learn this concept on this panel.
Well, it's good that we talk about it again and again, but pivot on that same basic concept of those definition terms into the story about the marijuana. That we were going to talk about tonight. About
you want me to? Do,
oh, was that you? Yeah.
Yeah, because I was doing it on cigarettes.
Well, who's cigarettes?
Well,
it was the same thing.
A guy wants to move forward with legislation or not legislation on the marijuana.
Right. That was mine. Yeah. Tonight's about pot, guns, and tobacco.
Yeah.
And so
well, we need an ATF agent.
That's right. And well, anyway, my friend Chris Moe, who's been very active down at the Capitol and all through last year with different efforts to win the 788 state question, the campaign that we saw last June, and then the fight with the health department, and then we tried another petition drive. He was part of that. He's announced a plan that he's going to work on this summer, and a number of people are stepping up saying, you know, hey, I think I want to be a part of it. He's going to be getting together with some lawmakers. I don't think those lawmakers want to be named right now,
okay.
And otherwise they're going to be long gone. Anyway, so, and they're going to come up with, what do we think the state is ready for next, because we're coming up by next Christmas, we'll have a year of marijuana, cannabis medicine being available. We will have had a chance to see, have we had, you know, the total downfall of our society?
Well, we do have fires in the streets now.
Pretty close.
Yeah,
fires.
Yeah, and flooding too. Maybe that's caused
God's angry.
Okay.
The bodies are piling pretty high.
Oh, Brad, don't bring God into this.
God's so angry that our
course. Very mad with your wacky tobacco, David.
So here we go. But the idea is to have legislation ready next January for the next session of the 57th legislature to maybe bring either legislation, straight up statutory language that visits our prohibition of marijuana, and maybe get rid of it, maybe greatly remove it, still have regulation, but you know, we'll see where we go on that. At the same time, there may be a resolution made by the legislature to put it on the ballot and punt it to the
right.
people.
It should be constitutional, you'd think.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, see. Yeah.
Here we go again.
David and I'm going to speak for you, believe that a constitution should speak more to principles, and Oklahoma has gone totally nuts having twice as big a constitution as anybody.
Twice?
Bigger than that.
Well,
the largest governing document.
Let me put it this way. We almost were denied statehood when Theodore Roosevelt was given the question, and he said the Oklahoma Constitution is twice as long as the Bible and twice as hard to understand. You know,
it wasn't too far. Maybe someone should have given him a joint with.
But we have a tradition here of, if we don't want the legislature screwing around with something, we make it a constitutional amendment, and we've done that 159 times. In the last, 110 years. So, on average, we change our constitution every 9 months. You know, 9 or 10 months.
So, is that why the legislature never reviews the constitution every 20
years? Perhaps.
Like they're supposed to.
It's too big of a job. But let's get back to our story. So, at the same time, a bunch of activists want to craft a state question, a petition, that will basically repeal it all the prohibitions, okay? And
so it's going to be better than 796 and 797.
I got it. Better be,
because that was horrific.
Yeah.
Well, the problem with the 788 is that I think we need a pharmacist probably accompanying every person that has marijuana on their person, so, ensuring that they use it correctly.
Let me just finish this, and then I'll let you guys just rip it to shreds,
sure, David.
So the thinking is here that while the legislature's deliberating on all this, there's going to be clipboards going on all over the state and at every dispensary, and if they can get a couple hundred thousand signatures, it's going to go on the ballot as a constitutional amendment by the terms that the people set rather than by what the legislature sets. And if the people do it, and they do it as a constitutional amendment, it's going to be hard to undo that. You need another amendment to undo it.
Right.
Okay,
right.
So then we could possibly have two questions a year from this November. One is statutory language that'll further remove more of our prohibition, getting close to libertarian utopia. And then we could have a constitutional amendment that does another version of it. Now, if both of those end up on our general election ballot, this will be the same ballot that Trump is up for re-election, okay? It's a big election. So if they both pass, then the constitutional language trumps the statutory language.
Right. Exactly.
In other words, whatever the people signed and petitioned for will trump what the legislature calls for. Unless the legislature decides, well, they're going to make theirs constitutional too, and then we got two constitutional amendments addressing the same thing, and what if they both pass? Then it's up to the Supreme Court to decide what kind of rights we have.
Well, what kind of steam is there behind a petition drive for more marijuana anything?
It's changing by the day.
I mean,
it's
growing up or down.
Well, I think people are finally waking up that 788 wasn't what it was promised to be.
Okay.
And I think that's starting to help.
Well, one of the reasons the legislator just grabbed it.
There it is.
And they said, this needs to change a lot. And I think right. You need a personal pharmacist to put the joint in your mouth.
Well, that got shot down. The health department tried doing that, and we literally about had a revolt.
Right.
And that's when John Eccles and Greg McCourtney said, you know, we need to have an interim study. And let me tell you, I was in that room. It's the biggest hearing room they have, and it was so packed they had an overflow room, and that was packed. I mean, it was, the people were mad. The people were mad. And let me tell you, that was right after the health department screwed
lost
us all over, violated all kinds of our constitutional rights, and then you had the scandal.
What constitutional rights? 788 was a violation of constitutional rights. So
I'm not going to take the bait here. What I'm saying is an agency does not have the right to go beyond the statutory language.
Well, that's true.
That's constitutional. That's what the Attorney General is saying. You guys don't have the authority under our Constitution to just make this stuff up. And we were mad about it. And then we find out about these fake death threats and then these bribery attempts and you know all that's going on. And it was like, man, who's got the moral higher ground, the higher moral ground in this state right now? It's the marijuana advocates.
You know, fake death threat, like they're faking, it's a fake death threat, or is it they're going to fake death?
No,
is it insurance fraud?
Was it an actual threat, or was it a faked threat? So in other words, they said it out, but they didn't really mean it, or was it okay. That they faked that
they were getting death
threats? No, I just
complicated. Is it called
that.
A Democrat?
No, I have the same question.
Just making it up.
According to the best understanding, we have media reports and statements by the people involved. The chief legal counsel for the health department was under incredible stress from all kinds of stuff. The medical association, they were all pushing her. She was being, we know of at least one bribery attempt that we have pretty strong evidence went on. And Chelsea Church, head of the state pharmacy board, a government agency, was fired over it almost immediately.
Wow.
You know, so all
what
that
did
going,
she have to do? She got to do it herself?
But again,
the law.
Again, this chief legal counsel, her name's Julia Sell, she resisted all those as best we know. She, you know, in fact, she was the one that blew the whistle on the pharmacy board. But in her stress, she made an unwise move to try
and
to
she
get.
She pulled a Jesse Smollett.
Excuse me.
Oh,
let me finish here. I'm sorry. I'm going to stay with my story.
Go ahead.
And so she created this narrative of, I'm under so much pressure, you guys, you know, lay off me and that I'm getting death threats. And it was a sympathy thing. It was illegal. In fact, I believe right now, statutorily, she may be up against felony indictment. Oh. I don't know. We're still waiting on this. And by the way, David Prater, the district attorney of Oklahoma County, I have not seen a grand jury on this. I haven't seen any activity on the other parties involved. And if you're not going to impanel a grand jury, then by God, the people just might do it for you. And you know what happens then? You're out of there. Another prosecutor comes in. So you either do your job or the people are going to do it for you.
That's and if you just tuned in, you're watching 3D Politics right here in Oklahoma with all three Davids. David D'Ambroso, David Oldham, and David Vann. I'm Tom McKay, your great host. Let's go on with that some more.
So, yeah, but that's a little of the side story there of what was going on. And we're still trying to find out what's going to happen on these charges. But the point is, the people have had the moral high ground.
Of course they have. They've always had the moral high ground.
I think they might investigate themselves and find no wrongdoing.
Yes.
I think that's kind of,
well, yeah, or they'll call for a special prosecutor.
We do need to have a proper grand jury, and I think we need to look into that whole process. Mm-hmm. Because without a proper grand jury, a just grand jury, it goes to the old saying that, you know, a grand jury can indict a ham sandwich. Okay? But there's a flip side to that, and if because it's all about the prosecutor, if the prosecutor wants, he can get the grand jury to release as without charges Al Capone. So the thing is,
right?
Well,
they're not supposed to give exculpatory evidence in a grand jury.
A prosecutor,
and they can do that if they want to.
A prosecutor can just choose not even to impanel a grand jury and just pretend nothing happened. That's the power of a district attorney.
Yes, but not in the case when we, the people, have brought it by petition. But then what they do, and this is what we saw happen in Owosso, what we see is the prosecutor on the case actually turned against the people who brought the charges and did not do the job for the people. He turned on them and then worked to see
this is the problem,
get off,
because if the people call for a grand jury, it's up to the Attorney General to either prosecute himself or to name a prosecutor in it.
And that I believe is a part of Oklahoma law that needs to change, because the Attorney General is beholden to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is basically kind of running everything. This is what I've heard from lawyers who I've talked to about
the whole
situation.
But it's okay, we've got a really good Supreme Court, so it's okay.
And the whole thing is there's this kind of backroom cabal thing that goes on, and so they end up handpicking the right prosecutor for the moment.
Right.
And that has got to change so that if we the people bring the charges, we can hire our own prosecutor or something along those lines so we get actual
justice.
There are
very few people who are in tune with what you're talking about, and that is just knowledgeable of the facts. And then of that small group to get activists, if you want to call them that, to move that, of that small group of people, what would you do? How would you change those laws, you say? What laws are they that need to be changed? And
well, that's what I'm still trying to learn.
Yeah, because
it's kind of a rabbit trail.
They don't really need to be changed. Because what I understand is it's a completely transparent and easily accessible process to everyone in the community. Yeah. So that's
so
what I'm told.
Getting back to what's happening here on this issue of our marijuana policy. The belief is the legislature would probably go further on this if they could be bought off with more taxes out of it. And there's also a thought that maybe if what we call casual use or off-label or people call recreational
heroin,
if that faces taxes kind of on the grounds like liquor does, you know, which I don't
syntax.
Like. Yes, syntax, shame tax.
13 or 18%.
They're willing to, a bunch of the people, the advocates, there's, are willing to put up with that if we will remove all the taxes to the consumer on
medical.
The medical. And that would put it back with like pharmaceutical meds.
But I think we're going to have a lot of Xboxers getting glaucoma if that's the case.
So,
and I know you guys are upset with me, and you especially today, David, because I'm going to harp on this yet again, but syntax
is... You would not harp.
Since syntax is... are unconstitutional.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you.
Okay, so we got to get that out for the listening audience, because the legislature might be willing, if they could be bought, with another unconstitutional
right.
Well,
you remember last week, Tom, you talked about how despicable it was that the mayor was shaming the citizens
right.
as though everybody should know what I know, right? And that the government shames people so they can tax people.
We should actually know what G.T. Bynum knows. He's an idiot.
I never said that. He's my favorite fascist.
And his email address is, what's your cell number? Maybe we can give that Just kidding. But anyway, that's kind of, there's the pragmatic thing where people are willing to throw something under the bus to get something up. They're trading stuff. That's that's how sausage is made down at the
but
Capitol.
But that's what we have to fight as we the people. We have to fight that urge, because that is going to mean more of the same. Okay, so we get a little bit less. We're a little less a subject of a sovereign state government, but that's not who and what we are, really.
Yeah.
So unless you're fighting for the whole shoot and match, full liberty, and then proper regulation, so that nobody is harmed by somebody else's drug use.
Are you talking about wearing trifold hats?
One
more point on this is that last year and a couple years before, when these petition drives were trying to happen, we did not have the kind of industry right now that's the backbone of it. Currently, with the medical marijuana dispensaries, by December, we will probably have well over 200,000 licensed medical marijuana patients. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's enough right there to pretty much get us the petition that we need. All of the dispensaries are likely to have clipboards on every counter for people to sign.
Good.
Those things did not exist. So there is political muscle, there's economic muscle, there's a lot of things pushing this way. And then when you look at other states, like we just saw this last week, Illinois went from total ban, totally legal, to totally recreational just by the legislature and the governor signing it.
Well, they should have done it a long time ago.
Sure.
The hope is that putting the pressure on, that they will actually do what they should have been doing
right
all
along. But now, keep in mind, I'm sure it's going to be taxed because it's Illinois, after all, a very Democrat-controlled state. But to see the kind of movement on this, that a state would just roll the whole thing over in one fell swoop, because most states we've seen it start out in medical and very regulated and eventually moving, incrementally. And there's nothing, you know, I'm kind of like the guys with OK2A. They don't go for the whole thing at once. They believe in incrementalism. I think there's a pragmatic, I think, you know, like David, I agree with you standing on our principles, saying what we believe and everything, but the chipping away is getting us there. It's moving that.
I don't think Dave has a problem. Well, I'll speak for himself, but as long as you're trying to achieve both.
No, let's both speak for him.
Let me speak for him.
I know what he wants to say, guys.
Well, the real problem is, are we headed to actual liberty and actually having our liberties protected? That's the question, because that did not happen in 788 in any area of 788. Okay, there was some allowance granted us by our masters in government.
Yeah.
Okay, or the people who wrote 788. Oh, magnanimous people. Okay. The point is that let's call it let's call it for what it is. It's more prohibition, and Chris even mentioned this in his saying that he's recognizing that some people can't or won't participate in the system, and so they've been left out. Oh, great. I'm glad he's finally realizing it. That's what I've been saying for a year and a half.
Do you consider the possibility that liberty is not inherently good?
Okay. Let me do just a quick follow-up. The Chris he's speaking to, Chris Moe, who's been a lobbyist at the Capitol, Center Politics front page has a story. It's Chris Moe writing a letter to the activist community on medical marijuana. And you can look that up front page, centerpolitics.org. There's further reading. Also on our Facebook page for 3D Live, 3D Politics, we've got that there as well. 3dpoliticspolitics.com. Is
what? 3dpolitics.com.
What is it? There it is. Well, no, 3dpoliticslive.com.
The only caution I have is we've got to wait to see what these people are wanting to come up with,
right?
Because they have not been doing things right yet. In terms, they've been calling things liberty that haven't been, and we have to use some caution and reject things that, frankly, take us back a giant step or cost more people money, and keep the thugs in with badges pounding at the door.
Okay, and let's talk about when you talk about syntax, S-I-N. Talk about syntax and the word usage that you were talking about that makes this a bad bill versus prohibition versus the freedoms that already exist.
Well, it's prohibition without the tax, and the tax is special. It's not a universal tax on, like, sales tax would be universal on all products, pretty generally, right? Generally.
And what's Mo pushing for?
Well, I don't know. That's the big question. I'm wondering why we're promoting all this.
It's only been discussed. And last night on the Oklahoma Cannabis Network news page, he and one of the attorney consultancies telling us, said this is one of the things that we have to look at. It's going to be part of the discussion. I know now, not that I'm going to bring it up, but somebody's going to. Okay, you know, because there are a number of lawmakers who care nothing for the liberty message, care nothing other than to give us more tax dollars that we can spend.
Then they need to suffer the punishments for perjuring their oaths.
There you go.
Because that is the real answer as to how we get our liberties.
What is that punishment, David? Anyway, most legislators, they're only concerned with getting elected, one, and getting reelected. That's just going to be the truth probably until the end of time. So we need better mechanisms to hold them accountable.
Right.
Well, I think that's what you're saying.
But we need proper education. We need proper education to the electorate. Yeah. Because they are just quirks in the electoral stream, as it were, and they just go along with what the electorate's thinking. So when nobody's talking about these things in a proper context, they're not doing anything to educate the electorate. So it can't be just me or us or whatever that's talking about this, it's got to go out, and some
education.
Of these other leaders have got to start discussing these things.
Education is kind of a fool's errand. You know, if people wanted to be educated, that's what they would flock to. That's what they would settle towards. But typically people, you know, they like what is flashy. They like what is appealing emotional.
Well, the problem is that these leaders are not telling people that their rights are being violated as a regular thing. They talk about all sorts of other things,
but they're
not talking about
that.
They don't
know what their rights are, usually.
Well, that's my point.
So the mechanisms have to be there to essentially to select better candidates for office, and then to punish them if they have broken their oath. And we don't have really good mechanisms.
No.
Come election time, we get people like you, and they're shouting from the rooftops, read the Constitution. And people said, no, I think I'll watch Desperate Housewives instead.
Right.
And they do. And then the person with the biggest smile, with the most mailers, wins re-election. Right. But if we had these mechanisms that I'm working on, other people are working on, I know you're interested in, of holding legislators accountable to their record, and selecting better legislators and political figures, we can really address this stuff.
If education is the problem, I hate to be, you know, consistently ringing the school bell alarm, but it's the public schools have let us down. We have given our children to the public schools. 90% of all children in America go through the public schools, and they haven't been taught any of these realities.
Right.
As a semanticist myself, you call them leaders. They're not supposed to be leaders. They're supposed to be representatives.
Yeah.
We don't really need leaders to teach anybody. That's the public school's job. Unfortunately, they teach socialism. And we haven't been taught in the public schools to segue into from the tax concepts. Today, the gay community is triggered by the straight pride parade.
Give us the backstory.
Yeah, well, the straight pride parade, they want to have it in Boston. They were rejected. Now they took it to court. They're going to allow them to have the parade. But my bigger issue was how triggered the gay community was in not wanting to allow the straight people to have a parade. In fact,
it's their right to be triggered.
It's just amazing that they... one person on Facebook told me that every day is straight day, you know, like your parents tell you, and that they don't really need, a gay advocate told me that straight people don't need a parade.
But that's not even the point.
That is not the point.
It's not the point. Maybe they don't. Maybe you don't need a parade.
I've been taught by the liberal progressive feminists that if you are not a female, then you can't know what a female needs. And if you are not, then I should suggest gay, then you can't know what a gay needs. And if you're gay, you can't know what a straight needs. And
personally,
I need a parade.
I got done Googling it here, and I found out that no one will die if they don't have a parade. So no one needs a parade.
You remember in the 2016 Democrat primary, I forget this guy, was like the Maryland governor was running, and somebody said something about Black Lives Matter, and he said, all lives matter. And he got so hounded, he apologized.
Oh, yeah.
He apologized for saying that all lives matter.
That was because he was a racist.
One of the problems with our public schools is they haven't taught the children how economics and taxation works. And if you learn taxation, you understand that since the time of Caesar, they have given married people a tax break. Whereas if you are not married, you don't get a tax break. And the reason is because the state benefits from what I call gnats.
But it hasn't, I have to say, the last 40 years, married filing jointly gets less of a deduction than marriage filing separately.
There's the marriage penalty only through the progressive tax rate.
Right. But okay. You had just said something that sounded to me. Maybe I heard
what I'm saying is traditionally, the reason that married couples get a tax break traditionally over 3,000 years of tax economics is because they create natural average taxpayers.
Yeah.
They create more taxpayers. You can be as gay as you want. You're not going to accidentally even come up with a natural average taxpayer.
Well, they're creating artificial wombs for
gay men. In today's world, you can create a baby like you do ethanol, but it costs more to grow a baby in a test tube. Even surrogacy, which is one of the popular
arguments. And it's not nearly as much fun in a test tube.
Ask the surrogate. Point is, the third person being brought in is another cost. Mm-hmm. There's no cheaper way to raise revenue of taxation other than creating new natural average taxpayers. That, children, is why married couples deserve a tax break. In fact, everything ever built, every bridge, every building, everything ever made by man is due to heterosexual behavior. Hats off to the heteros.
Actually, we all deserve a tax break because most of our taxation is unconstitutional anyway.
Well, when it comes to sex, I really got to hand it to us.
Well, I was going to say it's convenient that marriage is just a word.
Come on, David, I can't see.
Well, what are you talking about? I don't want to be on camera when I say that.
Yeah. Smart move!
Well, someone's just editing this. You know, I'm saying something else.
Get out!
Yeah.
Get out!
It's great that marriage is just a word that's a barrier to what some want to do in society, and so they can just change the meaning of that word.
Yeah.
So marriage literally means anything anyone wants to mean. In the law, the Constitution means anything. I mean, you know, here's the big deal, going all the way back to the first story. The only reason the NFA exists is because apparently Congress has the ability to regulate guns under its ability to tax. And, you know, we've got our Chief Justice Roberts essentially saying government can make you buy any product under their power to tax. Yeah. The power to tax is an unlimited power, apparently. Yeah, right. And that's really got to be checked. It's insane.
And, you know, that didn't exist until 1937 with Wickard v. Filburn. A guy grew up too much wheat.
And the 16th Amendment.
Well, there's the 16th Amendment for the tax, but that was perverted by then charging a tax or a fine on people that didn't purchase or didn't participate in interstate commerce.
In case all of you don't know,
the Milburn decision was about interstate commerce being totally bastardized and exploded, right? Okay.
And that's the same exact... mindset that.
Okay.
That
what was the ruling on that? But that's great.
No. Yes, but keep in mind that was a World War II thing, where 16th Amendment was prior to World War
I. Wilson, right?
Yeah. Right. And so.
True.
Yeah. And just to clarify, 16th Amendment allows the federal government to levy a tax on citizens. Before that, the federal government was funded by the states.
Correct.
Directly. And your taxes were paid to your state and local government.
Capitation on the state.
Yeah. So the three best amendments, 16, 17, and 18.
Any kind of tax.
Any federal monies that came in, if it wasn't from tariffs. Excises, duties, mm-hmm. then at the ports, then they came through the states.
Yeah.
And the 16th Amendment is the income tax. Is that correct?
It's the one that allows the federal government to tax us, we people directly.
Yeah.
The income tax is actually the Income Tax Act.
Right, because prior to that, I mean, we truly did act like a commonwealth.
Right.
In that the states are the parents of the federal entity, and they limited the powers of the federal entity.
Yes.
The first thing.
Yes.
And now we treat, now the federal government treats the states as her children.
Yeah, and the supremacy clause we found is far more important, according to the courts and, you know, a lot of these feds, than the Second Amendment, the Ninth Amendment, mm-hmm. and the Tenth Amendment. You know,
which are supreme.
They just don't care.
Yeah, we know. The other thing they did along with that 16th Amendment is the 17th, where the state legislators lost the power to select two delegates.
Okay,
to the
that's
state.
Where I was headed, because the states lost their representation.
Right,
exactly. Woodrow Wilson, again, best president ever.
The way the states protected their sovereignty was by totally controlling the Senate. The delegation of Senate.
Right.
Right. They had to represent state interests.
And so those two things, which happened in the progressive Wilson era, totally changed the dynamics.
He's very progressive. And of course, prohibition is progressive. I mean, they literally called it prohibition. You love that one, right? But they did it the right way, didn't they? Constitutional amendment.
Yes. I would have been fighting against it at the time, but
you.
Oh, absolutely. No, not for that. It's a liberty issue, and it fundamentally changed our form of government.
But it was very progressive. And progressivism is good. Don't you want progress?
You know how I feel.
What's tyrannical? We can call it progressive, but that gets into a whole other argument. It's definitely tyrannical.
Yeah, Wilson kicked all minorities out of government service as well. Very progressive.
Wilson, he totally mandated segregation through all federal buildings.
Oh, yeah. He shared the KKK.
Talk about a racist.
He was a racist.
Well, he was a Democrat. I mean, do you have to be redundant?
Oh, yeah, that.
He showed D.W. Griffith's Birth of a Nation, like he played it like monthly in the White House. He said, this is great, you know, and it lionized the Klan, and it was revisionist history. It was the KKK, they were the unsung heroes of the South in history.
Right, right, right.
And he's like, this is true.
But the Klan was very much a states' rights group.
Mm.
You know, because it came from the Confederacy. And the Confederacy, their argument wasn't about slavery, even though we knew that was their motivation. You know, their argument was states' rights.
Democrats are slippery, you know.
Yeah.
Also.
Well, the thing is that, and this is something, I'm glad you brought up states' rights, because states' rights only are the rights of the collective, the people. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, do we have the right to own other people? And if the answer, and that's an answer that literally is cultural.
Yeah, that's why you have to get your shots.
Well.
Boom!
Except that we have other amendments that said, no, we don't have to do that.
I'm going to give you a shot after this, David.
Yeah. Oh, that's fine.
Are you following comments?
No. Justin's here, though. Justin's not going to talk to us. He's too cool.
Okay, we're good.
Okay. What else we got?
Well, what was your finished thought there?
Well, on what? Oh, on the states' rights?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that states' rights, we have to understand, states don't have rights as sovereigns have rights. They're only the collective of us all. So if we individually do not have the right, then neither does the state.
Right, they're the power.
But the states now, and the federal government both, they rule over us as though they are sovereigns,
right,
and that they are divvying up the kingdom like
it's
a king and his lords.
It's not consent of the governed anymore, is it?
Well, no,
consent of the governors.
No, because they won't properly amend the Constitution, and that's where we find the consent.
Again, I bring it all back to the public schools. We push all the children through the public school. We train them to never take a risk. Go ahead and feel comfortable being shamed by your authorities, and don't know how to use your resources, just go ask somebody. And so in today's world, they have no idea why they pay taxes, how they pay taxes, and unfortunately, you're trying to educate. We're trying to educate an entire group of people. They would prefer it if the government would just take care of them.
Yeah, keep
they
in mind,
be
they're
sovereign.
Being taught by somebody who's dependent upon them paying more taxes.
The irony never ends.
It's an ongoing,
it's a circle
50 years of.
You're overreacting, though, because we gave teachers a raise, and now that's going to fix all these educational issues.
Yeah, I like Chuck Strom's answers. How much will be enough? Just tell me right now, how much is going to be enough?
And they're still screaming it's not enough. But
or what's a fair share, yeah.
I do want to finish up on the shaming issue, and especially the shaming in school, because it has gone so far that now Beverly Hills has prohibited all tobacco sales in their city, unless it is at a concierge hotel, and there was one other thing. And
what a healthy city!
All this
wow.
So, in other words, if you are a concierge service at a hotel, so if you come into the city and you want to buy cigarettes, that's okay. But everybody else who lives there cannot buy cigarettes.
Do you remember the riots in Baltimore like 3 years ago?
Yeah.
The guy's name was Rice. They threw him in the back of a paddy wagon and slammed him around. And beat him. He comes out, you know, dead. And there's riots there. You know what that was about? They arrested him for selling cigarettes by the stick.
Yeah, Fridays.
Oh,
without paying.
That was in New York City.
Yeah. No, those two different people. That guy was Eric Garner.
Eric Garner, right.
New York City.
Right.
This guy's name was Freddie Price or Rice or something.
Yeah, Rice. And but again, the government through high taxation creates a black market, and then they use the power of the guillotine or whatever. You know,
summary execution.
The execution by paddy wagon on city streets that haven't been fixed.
And I am so glad you brought up the black market, because the question is, how can a black market exist in a free society?
by
they're
taxation.
Well, right. they're oxymoronic. Yeah. They're antithetical to one another.
Yeah.
If
you
we
clearly don't have a free market if a black market exists.
Well, we don't have liberty in the United States if we have a black market.
You know? Yeah, that's just like saying a wet ocean or climate change. Climate is a word that denotes dynamic change. There's no reason to say climate change. And besides that, because of the progressives that have been taught in our public schools, the adults have to always maintain a free area, a buffer zone, and protect drinking and smoking so the children can have a place to dance. Hey, I'm Tom McKay.
I got one more thing. I want to ask, what's your ideas? Do you believe that Tulsa should have a straight pride parade? Comment here on this video.
What about cigarettes? Should we ban them?
Yeah. Or do you want full legalized marijuana without any taxes on it? Let us know.
Recreational child heroin. Email your libertarian party.
I was actually shocked that some of the biggest pushback I got on the article that I put up on the Beverly Hills tobacco ban was from the marijuana smokers who were all for the ban.
Oh, and, they want the business.
I thought they hate cigarettes. They hate tobacco.
They want the smoking business.
No, it had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do
with jealousy, really. I mean,
well, I think I thought they would get the point and they would commiserate with the poor smokers because they've suffered so long in, you know, the same kind of hands. No, they're like, it's a disgusting habit. These people need to have someone look out for them. These kind of arguments. And it was like,
you're expecting a little bit too much of people to look at other people's circumstances.
Well, shows you how narrow-minded
you know, are about well, and how selfish we are about liberty. We all claim to love liberty and freedom and that, but we got too much of this liberty for me, but not for thee. And it was like when I was talking to a Tea Party group last July after 7088 passed medical marijuana, and a bunch of them were against it. And they just, this was not going to be good. And I said, look, for these people, I was down there at the watch party, and I remember the look on their face, because to them, this, even though this wasn't real liberty, it was something close like it. It felt sort of like it, and they loved it, and they wanted more of it. And I'm taking advantage of that love for liberty and trying to incubate it and get it to grow. But folks, we have to celebrate when our neighbor gets his liberty.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to benefit me. I just want to see it benefit somebody. I want people to enjoy life, liberty, and their pursuit.
Well, and I think this panel right here is a good example of exactly what you're talking about, because not one of us smokes, not one of us drinks. Oh, we might smoke cigars every once in a while.
Two weeks ago, there were beer bottles on this table.
We do drink, but we don't use pot.
No.
But we all do. We do reserve our rights to do those things.
Yeah.
Should we ever want to or need to? And the thing is that we are fighting for other people's rights, those that we don't necessarily agree with. And I think it's demonstrated.
I should have the right to pursue an understanding of government, and you know, I should be able to toke it up to understand what is going on in government.
Maybe the only way.
Revenue from smokers pays for public education. And I did quit smoking in high school, but Juul is a product that has nicotine in it, and you can step up your usage to get back in the game. So I'm going to Juul will get me back into it.
I'm content. I've been married to the same woman for 35 years, but if I was as good looking and wealthy as you, why can't he have two wives, right? This is liberty.
And pay taxes for all of this.
Hey, leave folks, your comments after the thread.
It's been an exciting hour. I'm Tom McKay, your host, with all three Davids, David D'Ambroso, David Oldman, David Van, the District 36, King of District 36, coming up here. Don't forget. Oh, is it 37?
It doesn't
36.
Matter.
You said it doesn't matter.
And my name's on the ballot. Vote for me,
please. D'Ambroso's running for District 37. Make sure you vote for him, even if you're not in that district.
Yeah. David, or whoever you want.
Democrats, please enlist your dead friends and family to vote for me. From Ohio.
So I only speak for my own personal desire.
Yeah, we don't want to have to fill out ethics forms for this show.
Oh, I do. I do.
I'm not filling out.
Don't forget,
I didn't even fill out donation. Oh God! Everyone that doesn't run over you on the streets, that's an in-kind donation for the ethics form. They're helping you out.
Next week, we're going to ask David Oldham here from constitutionalgrounds.org if he would have been for the Magna Carta because it was just chipping away. And of course, David Van, the man with the plan here on SoonerPolitics.org. Don't forget to check us out next week on Monday on Sooner on the 3D Politics Live. Everything.